خروجیس که میره خودت زلخانت میره خروجیس the first oil, okay? My co-chair, Honorable Nzimande, will not be us for the rest of the day. Yes, I have engagement with you and so on. There is an apology from Honorable T.K. Mapuru. Otherwise, there is no... Oh, Honorable Mpuli.
DP and President, they will join us later.
Thank you. No, I know. Don't worry. Now, members, let me indicate that we will not have minutes today. There are two sets of minutes, including the one for the last meeting, which will be circulated first to members for your observation and corrections, so that when we meet next time, we won't have a meeting which takes 2 hours to address minutes. Let me take this opportunity to appreciate the inputs that we got from various political parties, but to indicate that in this process, we don't have any where we said the report will have addendums from political parties. These were just guides to respective members, because there is no member of this committee who is not from a particular political party. Now, I'm going to highlight how we are going to run this process today. We are going to get input from members on what we said should be observations and recommendations. We are going to give chance to all those members who would like to make those contributions. We are not going to allow that other members question the credibility of the submission by other members, because that is rightfully what they believe in. After all is done and dusted, the Secretariat will capture the gist of what has been presented. Obviously, there will be areas where there are commonalities. There will be areas where there are divergent views. All those will be captured. And after this session, we'll then have a session where we discuss what we'll call now committee observations and recommendations. I hope that this is clear to members. Chair, do you want to say something before you leave? Okay, you are covered. So, I'm going to open the floor now for those members who would like to make inputs on their, what they perceive as their observations and possible recommendations. So sorry, members, before that, Honorable, members, we are meeting as the House is sitting. Now, in any case when members will be required to go to the House for voting, we will suspend the proceedings so that the members go to the House and then resume immediately thereafter. Honorable Roti, do you want to make the first point?
No, Chair, I just want some clarity so that I'm quite sure that I understand what you say. So we all submitted written documents in terms of our observations and recommendations. So do I understand you correctly that we now going to just repeat what we have submitted, or do you want us to make new observations, or what exactly do we have to do now?
No, obviously what has been submitted is what you are going to talk to. I do not want members to read what they submitted. I would like members to talk to their submissions from their party, but this is not a party thing. We are members of this committee, but we are from our different political parties. Obviously, we get guidance from our political parties. Now, I want members to talk to their submissions.
Just to follow up then, Chairperson, so we then talk to our submissions, and then do we, after each person who has spoken, interact with that submission, or do we wait until right at the end?
Okay. We are not going to allow that when a member has submitted, then the submission is interrogated. No. We will all submit as members. The Secretariat will capture our submissions, and then they will table a summary of what seems to be capturing all that we have discussed, and that is the product that we are going to engage in, so that we come to the final document of the committee, which will be observations and recommendations. I hope I make myself clear. Honourable Swart, and then Honourable Tiani.
So, are we ready to proceed unless there are any other
points?
Thank you, Chair. How much time are we going to have per member?
I was going to come to that after I have established a common understanding. Each member will be given 5 minutes. So you will have to summarize your submission. Honorable Swart, I believe you are ready to take us forward.
Thank you, Chair. I make the submission on behalf of, as a member of the committee, but as a member of the ACDP, but if I understand correctly, it is as a member of the committee. It is important to note that I have been here since 1999. And I just want to make a general observation, firstly, that during the land hearings, I was deeply moved by the plight of all people that addressed us, from all poor people, from farmers, everything. And I had a deep sense of pain that many people are experiencing in our nation, of fear, of anxiety on the one hand, and of hope on the other hand. And so I make these observations, firstly, in addition to the written submission that we made as a party, which was is available, and secondly, as a member of the party. Firstly, the document has been provided, but I would like to just speak to it. I'm not going to read through the document that was circulated to all members, but at the outset, I just want to express my concern in the manner in which the written submissions have been dealt with, and I refer to Section 59 of the Constitution, which sets out the process for public participation that must be engaged with. I remind the committee that this committee issued an invitation for written submissions in May, and in addition to the written submissions, people were invited to make oral hearings. And the duty of public participation has been set out in the Constitutional Court, in the Doctors for Life International, where the Speaker of the National Assembly, which sets out the guidelines to how written submissions should be considered. And Chair, I'm concerned that the committee, as I've argued before, did not consider the written submissions. Is that what you want to say?
just sending someone to check if it's worthwhile for me to be.
Well, you know, it's my time.
Thank you, Chairperson.
You can get on board as well.
Chairperson, in my view, it's not sufficient to allow opportunity for members to go and look at the written submissions. We as the committee should have considered the written submissions to be compliant with Section 59 of the Constitution and the obligations set out in the Doctors for Life matter. And this, I believe, is a serious issue. I believe that we have not complied with our constitutional obligations in this regard, and I'm welcome to engage further with deliberations. But that is my key point in limine at the beginning. But Chair, I appreciate that the issue of land reform, which is restitution, redistribution, and land tenure, is a complex and very emotive issue in our nation, going back many, many years. And Chair, I would submit, and I associate myself with the views expressed by many believers, many churches, that we should be informed, and I've said this in Parliament, that whilst there's a need for justice, there's a need for reconciliation, nation building, we are called for love, we are called to be peacemakers in our nation. And as leaders, Chair, we need to find common ground amongst ourselves, that we can be united to find solutions to this issue that will promote harmony and social cohesion that can take our nation forward. And I'm encouraged by the widespread commitment that we observed during the oral hearing of people that are genuinely trying to find solutions to this issue. And I mentioned this in Parliament, where I commended the Deputy President for what happened in Bella Bella, where farmers came together with the department, and there was really a presence of God seeking solutions for this issue, Chair, and I want to commend that. But Chair, in essence, I want to say that, as has been set out, that any possible review of Section 25 must consider the impact on food security, stability in the agricultural sector and the economy, on investor confidence, financial exposure to banks and other financial institutions by commercial farmers, as well as resulting in adequate support for emerging farmers. And these are some of the factors that are set out. And we appreciate that there are different views on the application of Section 25. We as a party have said that we do not support expropriation of land without compensation. We also believe that Section 25 does not present an impediment to land transformation, and that this view was very well argued by former Constitutional Court Judge L.B. Sachs, and is also the view of the high-level panel on the assessment of key legislation, the Motlanthe Report. And Chair, it is very important to bear in mind that the South African Human Rights Commission, which is the custodian of the Bill of Rights, they stated unequivocally in their submission that while they regard the possibility of expropriation of land without compensation, they said the Constitution does not lend itself to such amendments that are needed for expropriation without compensation in this context. And they add, Chair, that if we were to amend the Constitution in this basis, it would be premature and would conflict with the doctrine of subsidiarity, which means you first have to pass subordinate legislation before you amend the Constitution. There were various views on title deeds, on state custodianship of property. We reject that, Chair. We believe there should be title deeds. We do not accept state custodianship of property. We oppose to cause for even churches' property to be taken. That we reject. We believe title deeds should be given so that wealth can be explored, so that small businesses can be explored. And of course, farmers need that collateral to raise funds and to raise capital for they need property. Chair, a lot of mention was made to the Motlanthe panel report. This has not been considered. They made very good submissions there. They held public hearings, and we need to look at that. We also need to look at inaccuracies in existing landlords. So, Chair, shortly, my recommendations. I think I've got about 2.5 minutes left. How much do I have, Chair? 2 minutes. Yeah. The ACDP recommends, because of the differing views on the exact parameters of Section 25, that we as Parliament approach the Constitutional Court to give guidance and parameters on the exact parameters of Section 25, whether reduced compensation is permissible as presently worded, and even the extreme possibility of no compensation could be allowed as presently formulated. We believe that Section 80 of the Constitution allows for Parliament to approach the Constitutional Court. Let the Court give guidelines in that regard. Let them give a judgment to us. Secondly, the Modlanti report panel, we support restitution based on compensation, Chair. Let us also look at land audits. Let us look at beneficiaries of land restitution and redistribution project, given title deeds. Let's look at the interests of commercial farmers balancing with emerging farmers. And Chair, we are very concerned about the large numbers of illegal land invasions that have taken place. We believe we as a committee must express ourselves very strong in that regard. So Chair, lastly, let us just focus on what the High Panel report said. The report said, experts advise that the need to pay compensation is not the most serious constraint on land reform in South Africa today. Other constraints, including increasing evidence of corruption by officials, the diversion of land reform budget to elites, the lack of political will, and the lack of training and capacity have proved far more serious stumbling blocks to land reform than the issue of compensation, Chair. So let us encourage existing farmers, and we as the ACDP, we oppose any amendment to Section 25 to allow for the expropriation of land without compensation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Swartz. The next speaker will be Honourable Mwabi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mwabe. Well, thank you, Chair. Excuse me for coming a little bit late. I was engaged in other things. But Chairperson, as we've seen that the presentation we submitted, firstly, we, as the representative of the party, I've noted the way the hearings were conducted. We are happy that it was conducted by capable people, the co-chairs, in both the groups, and we're happy that people of the members of the public were given the opportunity to express themselves in the language of their choice, what is what we've been emphasizing. And we noted as an observation that the members of the public also commended the decision of Parliament to take this matter to them for the comments as to what should be the way forward. And we are happy that most areas that were covered on the hearings were the rural areas in different provinces. Because in most cases, those are the people who feel that they are neglected by us as leaders here in this house. Well, we noted, Chair, that the views were different regarding the matter in question. Yes, there were those who were saying, no, there are some provisions in the Constitution, you can't do this. And there were those who were saying, yes, we need it. And if you look at the class of those people, those who were for the question were the people who have suffered historical injustices when it comes to the issues of land. But those who were saying, no, there is some provisions, mostly were those who are owning the businesses regarding in farming and others. But Chair, we also noted that the issue of land is a sensitive issue. I've quoted in my presentation an old man of Freiheit who told us that he started working in the farm as a young boy, but now he's about 8 years, but he's got nothing to show that he's been working. Which was a very, and he cried after that. I'm sure those were there will remember. But also we noted that the issue of land sometimes we regard it as the issue of agriculture and housing. But the young teacher of Orange Free State, I think it's in Kwaka, who said to us, the issue of land does not only regard these two things, and housing and agriculture. There's an educational aspect which impressed me a lot. He spoke about producing the sports people as schools in the township, which is a predicament for them compared to their urban counterparts or suburb counterparts. He said to us, in their schools, mostly in townships and rural areas, they will only have one soccer field. In the so-called middle sea schools, they will have two soccer fields, two two cricket fields, two swimming pools, and two rugby fields, and all those things, which really necessitates the land question, even the education center. But let me come to the recommendation, Chair, before you stop me, because I don't know how much I have. Before I come to that, let me also touch that it was raised that the land question, 4 minutes left, thank you, okay. The land question is a historical matter. I've cited in my report that when you speak of historical wars, whether you speak about the Battle of the Blood River, speak about the San Juana, you speak about the harassment and killings towards the traditional leaders that time. You speak about the incarceration of Chief Langalibalele in Gauteng of Amahlubi in Robben Island, killings of other chiefs, Hitsa, Sekukune, and others. All those wars were based on the issue of land. Those battles were in defense of the motherland, of such leaders. We have not noted in that as well. But coming to recommendation, Chairperson, as a party, we've got one recommendation. We have consulted with our own members. We have been observing throughout the oral presentations here in Parliament and in public hearings. As the National Freedom Party, our position is as a recommendation. Parliament must amend Section 25 of the Constitution to explicitly allow the expropriation of land without compensation. And this must be done before the end term of the fifth Parliament. That's a recommendation that we have. But we went on, Chair, to say we understand that, yes, there will be some differences with regard to the matter. But what people should consider is that the government has tried to address this issue in a very amicable way. The willing buyer, willing seller system, which we all agree now that it has failed. But the question is still hanging. The system has failed, but the question is not yet addressed to restore the land to its original owners. Yes, this approach, Chair, would seem to be radical to expropriate the land without compensation, but in more than 20 years of democracy, there's no other way to address the issue. We have quoted, Chair, what the late Henry Gwala said, one of the Stradley icons of Natal, when he was addressing the peace rally here in Cape Town in 1990. He said, and I quote, "When a mother can't give birth a natural way, then a cesarean session must be used because the child must be born." Unquote. That is what motivates us, Chairperson, to say we recommend that we expropriate the land without compensation and we amend the Constitution based on the highlights that I've made on behalf of the National Freedom Party. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mavi. The next is Honourable Robert. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. As a member of this committee, as well as now presenting this on behalf of the Democratic Alliance, I have to state right at the start that these observations and the recommendations that we are making are being made under protest. These observations that I'm going to refer to now should not be considered yet as the finalized report, because this still has to be finalized, the constituent part of this report. So these recommendations should not be construed under any circumstances as acquiescence, approval or consent of the errors in procedure that have been willfully committed by the committee and some of its members. I will then highlight the following matters. First of all, in terms of the public hearings that were held, we attended those, and we also recognize that the majority of the oral submissions at the public hearings were strongly opposed to necessarily changing the constitution, but it pointed out that government has failed to implement the current provisions of the constitution. Many people also warned against the unintended consequences. The important thing that I would like to focus on is the fact that the processes have not been finished and is potentially compromised. Reference has been made to certain judgments that have been given, such as Doctors for Life International versus the Speaker of the National Assembly and others. And I also want to refer here to Judge Nkorbok, who said public participation in the lawmaking process is one of the means of ensuring that legislation is both informed and responsive. The objective in involving the public in the lawmaking process is to ensure that the legislatures are aware of concerns of the public. Now, Chairperson, the issue of land is extremely important and has been said it is extremely emotive. So any rushed procedure where shortcuts are being taken does not do justice to the importance of this issue. And I would also like to quote Judge Sachs, where he said, although in other countries not in the direction of participatory democracy may serve as hallmarks of good government in a political sense, in our country, active and ongoing public involvement is a requirement of constitutional government in a legal sense. It is not just a matter of legislative etiquette or good governmental manners. It is one of constitutional obligation. And therefore, we cannot only rely on what happened at the public hearings, but we have to also take in the same seriousness the submissions, the written submissions that were made to this committee. So the arbitrary disregard of certain submissions remains a major problem and stumbling block in the process of this committee. 630,000 written submissions were received. But the problem is that 176,780 duplicate submissions, which were identified by analyzing the name and surname of the respondent, as well as the content in the comment of the submissions, were just disregarded. And we've also heard that it was because it used the same email address. That is highly problematic. And an additional problem to that is that although these written submissions were made available in a room, we still don't have access to those on email. So clearly, in terms of the importance of this matter and the fact that there is a constitutional imperative to comply with the public's view on this, we have not really done our work, and we are already progressing to a report and asking for recommendations. Also added to this is the integrity of the report on the written submissions. That is highly questionable. The report of the written submissions by a company called Isilunko, which apparently turned out to be a labour-broking firm with no credentials to do the job at hand, was presented to the committee on the 20th of September. And that received a unanimous rebuke from the committee, and we still have not yet received a finalized report indicating that it is verified, because we still just sit with that report of Isilunko, even though we have rejected them. Chairperson, also extremely worrying for the DA is that the process has a predecided outcome. Soon after the announcement of the possible review of the Constitution, the government announced that 139 farms had already been earmarked for expropriation while the parliamentary process was still underway. And then, of course, President Ramaphosa's statement on the 31st of July, while the public hearings were not completed, preempted the outcome of the process still underway and, as a result, undermines the work of the committee. That is highly problematic. In addition to that, the amendment, we believe, will not pass constitutional muster. We have not dealt with the whole issue of Section 36 of the Constitution and the different requirements there, the limitation that can be considered when certain factors are being taken into account. So this implies that this committee has not done its work thoroughly, as is expected. And then also the whole issue of less restrictive measures to achieve the purpose. It is in this regard especially that the proposal to change the Constitution fails to measure up to the requirements of the Limitations Clause. Less restrictive means to achieve the purpose of land reform are available in abundance. Other legislative measures have not been exhausted, and here I refer to the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill, the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act, the Extension of Security of Tenure Amendment Bill. So there are a number of pieces of legislation that we haven't dealt with. I will conclude. Also, we have not dealt with the high-level panel recommendations. We have not engaged with the Surveyor General. And then just to close, Chairperson, and this is the whole document is there, but our recommendations, the current constitutional provisions adequately allow for progressive land reform. Other mechanisms and legislative measures have not been exhausted. Expropriation without compensation has not addressed the real concerns of land reform, and we therefore do not support amending the Constitution.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, co-chairs and my colleagues. IP's position on the matter, which is known because we have pronounced ourselves on numerous occasions. Well, we feel that Section 25 of the Constitution should not be amended because we believe that the Constitution in its current form is not an impediment to the process of land redistribution. We were part of the process from the beginning and went through all the provinces, and we acknowledge challenges that we are facing as a country where the majority of the land is in the hands of the few, and as a party we are of a strong view that the issue of land is an urgent matter and it needs to be addressed urgently. However, we made some observations during the process. One of the observations that we noted was that every person who participated in the process acknowledged the challenges at hand and agreed that there is a need to address the question of land in South Africa once and for all. Except for a presentation that we received here in Parliament from AfriForum, where they made it very clear that from where they sit, there is no need for land to be given to black people, whether for agricultural reasons or residential purposes. But also, it's important to note that this view was different from all the participants in different provinces, because what they said was opposite to what AfriForum presented in Parliament. Also, every person who participated in the process agreed that expropriation of land in the public interest, or they supported the expropriation of land in the public interest. That was the view of the majority in the public hearing that we did in the provinces. Of those who supported the amendment to the Constitution, very few of them supported that the state should be the custodian of land. Instead, they stressed that land should be given back to people and people must be given title deed. To substantiate their reason for that, the issue of corruption came out and the incapacity of the state to manage the current land that is under its control. We also noted that those who were opposed to the amendment of the Constitution were shouted at during these public hearings, and it took someone to have courage to go to the podium and express her view on the matter. And also, there was political interference in some instances. I will make one example where a political party, the
demanded that white people be removed from the hall because they were the majority in that particular area. That is something that we also observed. When we come to oral presentations that were done here in Parliament, the majority of them were opposed to the amendment of the Constitution. And they were also subjected to such humiliation, and they were called all sorts of names. Therefore, we recommend that government should first clarify the process as to how land will be managed and the qualified criteria as to how the same land will be redistributed if it's expropriated. We also say the state should first have demonstrate its ability by redistributing the land which is currently lies at the ownership of the state. And as I said, that as a party, are opposed to the amendment of the Constitution because we believe that we can still achieve everything to achieve under the current Constitution. It's not the Constitution that is failed, but the policies of the government. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tillis. Honourable Fintan.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Given the painful history of dispossessions through the brutalizing of the then landowners over three centuries ago, one has to agree that the one and only instrument for making it possible for those people to get their land back is for the Constitution to be amended. Time and time again, legislation has been ruled to be out of order because it's not compliant with the Constitution. And that is a defense against which you cannot argue. If it's unconstitutional, then it's unconstitutional. And so the only way to make sure that people would have access and opportunity of accessing land would be to amend the very Constitution itself. This process of amending the Constitution has been meticulously observed and in compliance with the Constitution. You can try as much as you want to fault it. Your case will fall flat right at the door of the Constitutional Court. People have had enough time to explore and exploit all the opportunities within this committee. Even now, we haven't run out of time, but people are rushing to courts. That's their problem. The process of dispossessions was followed by a series of further oppressive laws, which even displaced this class and race of people. That has to be corrected. Social disorder has consequently been the order of the day for these people throughout their lives, intergenerationally. The Constitution does not explicitly empower expropriation of land without compensation, and all these learned members of Parliament are acutely aware of that serious and very obvious deficiency in our Constitution. The landless have, through public hearings, overwhelmingly supported the proposed amendments. They feel the pinch because they are landless. There is no economy that thrives better just because it is based on a few people in any country. Give us an example if you know of an economy that is certified that it will perform better just because it's in the hands of a few, whilst the majority of the people in any given country, you know, are suffering and do not even do banking, let alone participating in any form of economy. The high speed of land grabs is a clear manifestation of a hunger for land. Those who oppose this proposed amendment are merely hell-bent on perpetuating poverty of the already poor in this country. You may be excused for calling it day-to-day cruelty, which must go from generation to generation. On the social side, people are living in tin houses, whilst the opponents live on the lap of luxury and have been through generations. This must change. We cannot and should not, as legislators, abdicate our responsibility of making laws of this country in the hands of the judiciary. Those people who keep pointing us to in the direction of the Constitutional Court and so on, yes, what's the means to go there? The people we are representing here, the majority of South Africans that we speak for, are people who don't even know how to make an application to go to the Constitutional Court. The majority of them cannot even read or write. And yet these are people who I was born here. They did not come from Europe or any other part of the world. And you say in order for them to have access to their land, the only land they know is for them to go to court. We cannot. We have to make the law ourselves and not depend on the Constitutional Court making laws for us. Members of this committee were repeatedly encouraged to access and acquaint themselves with the written submissions. That they still complaining about it even at this 11th hour, it's not yet 12 o'clock, is because they want to demonstrate that they are not acting in the interest of the people. They want to complain on behalf of their own individual members. Some members keep referring to land reform. This motion, read it one more time, makes no mention at all of this concept. Rather, it refers to public interest, and we are talking here in the interest of the public. Consistent reference to this concept of land reform is nothing but an attempt to divert and narrow the debate to this concept. They're misleading us. There's nothing about land reform here. All we want is a constitution that must be amended to make it possible for anyone, any government, to expropriate land without compensation. There is no government that would ever have a sufficient budget for buying an ever increasing for buying land at the ever increasing prices, which are demanded by the people who have been intergenerationally owning land from generation to generation. And now a stupid government must find money in a tiny fiscus to buy land from people who didn't pay for it in the first place. This government is faced with many social demands that are a direct result of the laws, unjust laws that were passed before, as well as the policies, let alone physical handling and undermining of those who are landless. You go to any part of South Africa, any town in South Africa, you'll find a spate of tin houses. Now, if you say people who want to get out of that must go to the Constitutional Court, you have to ask yourself, if you are really talking in public interest. It must be labeled as an acute, selfish approach. You want to live in luxury, you want other people to live in tin houses for the rest of their life, intergenerational. In conclusion, Chair, imagine a family, someone who starts a family, husband and wife are in one room, they produce two or three children. They have got no toilets inside us. They have got no space for playing. There is not even a passage for cars to come and pick them up. They are so close to one another. Every time a shed bends, 400 of them do bend. And you want to confine people. Are you in the right frame of mind?
Our time is up. Thank you very much. Honorable Carter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just firstly, as a Congress of the People, we are adamant that the request of our observations and the recommendations on the amendment of Section 25 of the Constitution are grossly overdone. Constitutionally, our democracy is both representative and participatory in nature. We believe that the process and requirements and law that are required to be respected and followed by the committee have not been properly complied with and finished. Further, we record our concern at the arbitrary disregard of a large number of written email submissions lodged with the committee on the pretext that they were duplicate submissions. Even after request of making the spreadsheets available to us, we have not been able to get those from the committee. On all of the requests to make the written email submissions available to us, they have not been able to do that. We agree that the committee was given an opportunity to go to a boardroom where the hand-delivered submissions were made available. But to date, almost 500,000 email submissions have not been made available, and in requesting from the administrative staff, they have indicated that IT is still trying to upload it. So we have disregarded basically two-thirds of submissions. I concur with Honourable Swart that this committee has failed to comply with Section 59 of the Constitution, including Section 195D, that encourages the public to participate in policy making. As well as if we go to Parliament's website, we will clearly see how they indicate how written submissions should be made and how they should be dealt with. Now, Chairperson, we have listened to the views of South Africans across the country and the submissions made in Parliament. We have perused the hand-delivered written submissions submitted. We feel our people's pain and frustration. We heard the fears and the concerns raised and the potential consequences that may arise. We are mindful that in addressing past injustices, we do so in the present, but we must be mindful of the future. We have grave concern about the manner in which the CRC has gone about its start, and I have to put it on record, we reserve our right therein. We face this damaging impasse as a consequence of the abject failure of a state and its executive, and not because of the Constitution. The state has not given effect, a meaningful effect, to the provisions of Section 25 of the Constitution. The lack of legislative framework to drive and regulate land reform within the Constitution lies at the hands of the state. The inability of government to adopt expropriation legislation aligns to our new constitutional order. Now, Parliament's high-level panel report that we are disregarding at the moment is an official document of Parliament, and the Speaker actually circulated that to all the committees to address the findings in the high-level panel report. It is still, I cannot understand why this committee has refused to look at the high-level panel report. Or should I say the chairperson just outrightly rejected it. The abject failure of land reform lies squarely, as I said, at the feet of the state parliament that has not developed an appropriate and progressive legislative framework for its realisation, nor exercised meaningful oversight over the executive. The abject failure of land reform lies squarely at the feet of the executive that has failed to ensure the coherent and effective implementation and realisation of land reform, and, as in Section 26, access to housing rights. The real hunger for land and housing is in our peri-urban and urban environments as South Africans migrate to our urban centres in search of jobs and a better life. We note in this regard that it is the state that is responsible for the progressive realisation of housing. The potential consequences of amending and weakening the Constitution's current property rights provisions are very dire to our future economic growth, to job creation prospects, to food security, and the stability of our banking sector. And at this point, I want to just say the following to you, that in February of this year, the valuation of property dropped with almost 30%. This unintended effect was that, for example, farmers that wanted to get production loans got a third less of the money to produce and to plant food. This means that we can expect to have a third less food available. And if we look at the supply and demand, it will be the poorest of the poor that cannot afford the food that will be suffering the most. We reiterate our position. Though we agree that the injustice of the past must be remedied, we do not support the principle of expropriation of land without compensation. As Congress of the People, we concur with the findings and the recommendations as set out in the high-level panel report. And we want to make the following recommendations. The Congress of the People are firmly of the view that the process followed with respect to the written submissions were flawed and makes an appeal to the Constitutional Review Committee and to Parliament to make available all email submissions that were submitted within the time frame on the call for public comments by Parliament to members of the committee. It is not right that the chairperson can indicate that they trust staff members and that they trust an employment agency from outside, but they do not trust members of this committee. further performance responsibility and interact with a written email submission not made available to this committee. Invite and meet with the authors of a high-level panel report and interact with the findings and the recommendations captured in the high-level panel report. That we should invite and interact with the Surveyor General, which we have requested and which was just abruptly rejected every time we did so. Should the committee not agree to the above, our recommendations also at a level of protest will be as follows. But the Constitution in its current form provides all the powers required to ensure the full realisation of just and equitable land reform, and no rational reason exists to amend the provisions of Section 25 of the Constitution. The time has just come for government to start implementing what is enshrined in Section 25. That the findings and the recommendations of a high-level panel in respect of land reform must be accepted and adopted. Though we say that government must find the money, as the Honourable Fultani was saying, we just have to ask ourselves a question. If we are going to look and if we are going to create policy insecurity, what is the effect going to be on the fiscus when taxpayers are no longer going to invest in this country? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Minister. Honourable Chairperson, if you want to change the Constitution or an entrenched section of the Constitution, all the Bill of Rights, you cannot make a single procedural error, not one. In this process, many errors were made and are still being made. The Freedom Front Plus reserves all its rights with regard to this process, and the making of recommendations under these circumstances should not be construed under any circumstances as approval of consent of the errors and procedure which have been willfully committed by the committee and some of its members, even after they were warned on more than one occasion. We believe that the current process is fundamentally flawed. We believe that the majority of the committee seems to be willing to take a report to Parliament that will embarrass Parliament and the President. However, we think that the whole process was flawed. I would first like to react to the process itself and how that process went along. We remember that the President, and I'll come back to that. Let's start with the process and the public hearings in the beginning. We know that there were 33 meetings held across South Africa in all 9 provinces, and it's common cause that approximately on average 75 people spoke at each meeting. Let's say for argument's sake that the majority of them were in favour of amending the Constitution, which is not the case, but the majority were, we accept that. Let's say that 1,000 people attended those meetings, and all of them were in favour of amending the Constitution. We're talking about 33,000 people in that instance. Then we come to the written submissions. On 14 March 2018, the President, during question time, called on the public to make submissions. He was going on in the House, like in the constitutional process, we need submissions. And the public listened. On 31st of May, this ad was placed in the media, inviting the public to make submissions. And they listened. 24 June, the spokesperson, Moloto Motapo of Parliament, said to African News Agency the following: the Constitutional Review Committee is in the process of contracting a service provider to increase the capacity of the CRC with the aim to analyse the submissions to ensure that each and every submission would be considered. Even submissions with only a name, cell phone number or email address shall be considered. Actual process didn't happen, and we know it didn't happen. Not one single written submission was addressed to any political party or to any member of this committee. They were addressed to Parliament. Later on it was said that members could go and have a look, which they did. But Parliament failed in its role and the committee in that sense. Until today, no report that deals with written submissions were presented to the committee. More than 200,000 emails are somewhere in cyberspace and were never made available to members of the committee. No report that deals with written submissions were ever adopted or even discussed by the committee. If we take the statistics given by that service provider, it's clear that 630,000 written submissions were allegedly received. 472,344 said no to the change of the Constitution, that's 74.9%. 153,000 said yes to the Constitution's change, that's 24%. A majority of 75% were against that. Then we come to the oral submissions and hearings we had here over 6 days. In total, approximately 53 people came, and that's part of the submission and the resolution that we adopted in Parliament that said we should also engage with civil society, academics, organs of society, business, etc. 53 organizations came. In my submission, page 4 and 5, I present you with a list, each and every one. Some of us attended all of those. Some of us attended all of those. Of those oral submissions, 41 out of 53 of them said no to the amendment of constitution. That's 77.3%. 11 said yes. That's 20%. Once again, more than 75% of people that came here to make an oral submission said, no, don't change the constitution. However, it seems that we are convinced, some of us, that the constitution should be changed under all circumstances. We've got a choice. If we seriously want to address the land issue, which I believe we should do it in a proper fashion. If we want to play politics with the election in mind, we can force this process through Parliament, and we will have to pay the consequences in the end. That's your decision. Those who have got the majority of this committee, they must take that decision. We were told by many people in terms of the implications. In terms of international treaties, go and have a look at Section 17 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Go and look at the AGOA Act that will impact on our economy. But we can ignore that. Let me then come in conclusion, Chairperson. The written submissions, as well as the oral submissions, make abundantly clear with a 75%+ majority in front of this commission that there were no grounds whatsoever to argue that the evidence put in front of the committee now, up to this point, necessitates an amendment of the Constitution of South Africa. On the contrary, they said exactly the opposite. Chairperson told us throughout, the submissions are just as important as the oral hearings outside. I accept that, but look at the figures involved. If the ANC, with the support of some other parties, goes ahead and recommend to Parliament that Section 25 of the Constitution should be changed, it can only be argued on the basis of the pronouncement by President Ramaphosa already on the 31st of July, when he said, quote, accordingly, the ANC will, through parliamentary process, finalize a proposed amendment to the Constitution that outlines more clearly the conditions under which appropriation of land without compensation can be effected. A factual statement. It will do so. That happened in the middle of this process. We were still busy with provincial hearings. At that stage, we haven't heard one oral submission by people that we invited to come here. We've not received any report, but it was announced already at that stage. The South African public and international community should take note that the protest, the whole process, as far as we are concerned, was a charade and therefore fundamentally flawed. The decision to amend Section 25 was taken by the NEC of the ANC and announced by President Ramaphosa already on the 31st of July. We wasted the time and money of thousands of people out there. With regard to recommendations in conclusion, if we want to address the problem, and nobody came in this process and said, we do not accept that we have an urgent challenge in terms of land, however, the fingers pointed at the government for failing in the last 24 years. Now the Constitution is blamed. Recommendations, if we are serious, we call for a proper land audit to provide clarity on land reform in South Africa and to formulate a clear strategy for land distribution plan. We say that the state must make available the 4,000 farms already bought. And we've got my submissions and recommendations are in this document of 15 pages. I'm constricted to a few minutes. In conclusion, we are of the view that the Constitution should not be blamed, and therefore, if expropriation without compensation is not the answer, Section 25 is not the problem, and it should not be amended.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We all know that the EFF table, this motion, Parliament agreed that there should be a constitutional review process and we should conduct public hearings. It looks like some people got lost as we're conducting public hearings. They thought we're conducting a referendum. That's why they are not dealing with substantive issues. Instead, they are dealing with figures and percentages, which confirm a serious crisis amongst those who are opposed to this amendment. And therefore, we should make it very clear that nowhere did Parliament say we must go and conduct the referendum. Our argument here for and against should be based on substantive issues. and not on numbers. Once you rush to numbers, it means you have run out of ideas. And even those who came here to make presentations have not equipped you enough to raise substantive issues on why we should not amend the Constitution. And therefore, it's a blue lie from those who come from a blue party to say majority of people who participated in public hearings said they don't want the constitutional amendment. In hearings where I participated, majority of our people agreed that we should amend the Constitution because it must give them access to land to resolve inequality, unemployment, landlessness, and poverty that is found amongst our people. And therefore, they want the land, to use the land to feed themselves, but also to empower themselves so that they can become active participants in the economy of South Africa, because as things are now, they are marginalized. All of us should make one observation, that not a single white person supported amendment of Section 25. And therefore, ours is not a class division. It's not a class division. It's a racial division. I'm talking about participation of ordinary people. So please don't be sensitive. Because I was not sensitive when you were saying senseless things here. Not a single one. So the South African national question has got nothing to do with class. First and foremost, it has got everything to do with race. And whites do not want the land to be released because that is what they regard as their privilege, and that we must continue to be subjected to landlessness. So the oral submissions were made. We've listened to everybody. The state incapacity in the past does not mean state incapacity in the future. That's why the EFF says the state must own the land because we are going to be government. So why do you keep on blaming the other state as if you are not preparing to be the state? If the problem was the state, take power and correct the weaknesses of the state and give the people the land the way you want them to be given the land. Don't keep on saying the state failed, the state failed, as if the state is going to fail going into the future, unless you don't see yourself as government in the future. Heated debate were there, of course, the land issue is an emotive issue. It was expected to have heated debate amongst our people. And all types of statements were made. And therefore, it cannot be that some people who come from parties which were in collaboration with the apartheid regime, that some people said white people must get out of a meeting. There were serious threats made in the meeting by white people, threatening the instability and the security of this country. And we never want to, you know, belabor the point about such issues. They were to be expected. It's a public debate. But secondly, that, Chair, a lot of laws were passed by this parliament through public participation. None of those public participations actually were as attended like this one that we are coming from. Yet that participation, the small participations in the public hearings through parliament, did not stop passing of any legislation. So here the people came out in their numbers even when it was not a referendum. So it can't be correct that no, because 1,000 people came, therefore 33,000 people, therefore what do you mean 33,000 people out of so many people? You want to take a decision based on 33,000 people? We have been taking decisions based on 500 people participation in public hearings in this parliament. And therefore attendance of public hearings has never been an issue. Reserve your right. We also reserve our rights to defend this decision. For the first time, we'll be on the same side with parliament. And you know what happens when we're on the other side. We bring the best legal mind to defend this thing. There's nothing wrong with this. Let's proceed, Chair, to amend the Constitution and give our people the land. Ramaphosa and the ANC is in a better place to defend Ramaphosa. Ramaphosa's announcement on TV was the party position. The ANC has got a right to pronounce itself. No one here is going to take away the right of the ANC to pronounce where it stands. And Ramaphosa is the president of that organization. That the president of that organization speaks on behalf of that organization. There was no ambiguity about that. Cyril made it very clear that the ANC has taken a decision. He never said government. Go and tell a judge that. Let's hear a sober judge listening to such a misguided argument where a party leader pronounces a party position and you confuse that with the state position. So the people who always make noise about separating the party and the state should know that there are times where the president of the country will speak as a party leader. And when he does so, there should not be unnecessary confusion unless it's deliberate. And if you are reserving your right to go and tell the judge such things, that will be an abuse of court process and you run a risk of being taken out of that court without being listened to by any judge. So, Chair, the EFF is very clear. We are happy with the process. Let's amend the constitution. Let's table the report to parliament and amend the constitution. Anyone who wants to go to court, they can go to court. In the public hearings, what was even more interesting is that ordinary people were saying, for the first time, we sit in a meeting black and white. We have never experienced that. Let's go and share that beauty of those meetings, successful meetings like that, where people were completely differing, yet tolerated each other. There was no single drop of blood. There was no fight, no nothing, in conclusion. And therefore, it will be incorrect for anyone to suggest that this was not a smooth process. It was a smooth process. Your ideas did not win the day. You lost.
Thank you very much, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I start by reminding this House that clause 10 of the Bill of Rights says everyone has inherent dignity. Everyone has inherent dignity. And the right to have their dignity respected and protected. And I'm of the view, Chair, that for centuries the dignity of the majority of this country was trampled upon. And therefore it must be corrected. I move from that premise. The second point I want to make, Chair, is that, as said by Honorable Malem and others, this was never a referendum. Because unfortunately, if it was a referendum, Chair, we'd divide this country along racial lines. It's a fact that the majority of those that are current landowners were opposed to the amendment. It's a fact. And it's a fact that the majority of those that were deprived of land couldn't wait to have their land. So this was never a referendum. It was about the argument. And my view is that dignity and the original sin has to be reversed. Secondly, Chair, we were asked to go and find out about the desirability of amending the Constitution. Not amending it, the desirability of amending it. And I want to state here that the vast majority of South Africans that I interacted with felt that the Constitution must be amended to make it explicit. Now, many people have said that it is implied, and it's true that it is implied. But then you must look at who are those people that interpret the implications. Many of those that we interacted with in the rural areas don't see that, unfortunately, because perhaps they are not as educated as the rest of us, and ask the question, please put it in the Constitution so that it cannot be challenged in the court of law. And ours is to strengthen. That's the recommendation that we're making. Make it totally unchallengeable that expropriation without compensation is but one means. I also want to say, Chairperson, that I disagree with the argument that the courts must test it. We cannot outsource our responsibilities as lawmakers and make it a default position that the courts must decide. We must decide, and then those that feel otherwise have the avenue of going to the court, but it can't be a default position that we must take it to the courts. And Chairperson, I want to indicate that yes, the high-level panel doesn't exist anymore, and therefore we cannot interact with the high-level panel. It doesn't exist. But certainly those that participated in the high-level panel participated in this process. And they would not have been talking from their socks, they would have been talking from that they picked up in the high-level panel. Annika Klaasens is an example of it. So to say that we never interacted with the high-level panel, for me, is something that is a fig leaf. And to interact with them doesn't mean that they've got to be physically here. Some of us can read. And therefore, Chair, I think that we did the necessary in that regard. I want to go, Chair, and say that we concur with everybody that says that part of the problem for the past 24 years has been the lack of capacity, has been corruption, and has been the lack of budgets. We concur 100% with that, and that must be addressed. We also concur, Chair, that whatever we do, we must make sure that food security, agricultural reform must not be tampered with. But we were told by many emerging farmers that it's a myth to say that if they were given the opportunity that there would therefore all of a sudden be a shortage of food in this country. It's a myth. And we must debunk that myth, Chair. It's also a myth to say that there would be a problem with investment. We've just seen in the past 3 weeks that the President has gone on investment summits, and he's talking about all these wonderful investors that want to come to the country. That's what the President has said. That's what we've been observing. So we shouldn't use the fact that the investors would turn away as an example not to fix up the wrongs of the past. And I say, Chair, that it's also maybe wrong, Chair, to think that what we are doing is the actual amendment. Ours is to say to Parliament, we think there's a need to amend, and go and set up a body that will do the actual amendment. And that process in itself will ask for more public hearings. So South Africans will have a double dip on this matter. So to say that there was no public participation, I disagree that Section 59 was not complied with. We listen to the views of ordinary South Africans, and we're expressing the views of ordinary South Africans. And many people have said, there's never been 3,000 people consulted on any law in this country. There's never been, as the Honorable Mulder says, 77% of 66,000 or even 45 or 55 consulted around these things. This has been unprecedented in terms of the people that we consulted, in terms of the people that we've spoken to, and I don't believe that we will be found wanting when it comes to Section 55 of the Constitution. And therefore, Chair, the ANC is of the view that the Constitution, Section 25, must be amended to make it very clear and unchallengeable that expropriation without compensation is a mechanism that can be used. Make it clear in the Constitution. And we are not predetermining where and how. That will be done by the body that actually does it. But we are saying the Constitution must be amended. We are also saying, Chair, as everybody else has said, Parliament must ensure that all the legislation that is referred to in Section 36 must be expedited. The reform or the Restitution Act, the Expropriation Act, must be expedited. But it doesn't mean that you can't do them simultaneously. We are saying they must go ahead and do that whilst we explore and amend the Constitution. It doesn't mean that we must do one before the other. We think all of them should be done. And we're saying that, Chairperson, because we firmly believe that our people, the majority of them, as we speak, have complained about 10 years of security, have complained that their graves have been desecrated by those that took the land, be it the miners or be it the farmers. And all we are saying is part of the politics that we are talking about is about restoring the dignity of this country, it's about making us one nation, and it's about ensuring that the future of our children is guaranteed. Ngiyabonga, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Smith. Members, as we indicated in the beginning, I'm not going to allow you to punch holes into your presentations. I am going to present a summary of what you were saying, which you can punch holes into. I'll be your punching bag. Now,
what is going to happen is the second leg of this will be a session tomorrow where we'll be discussing, actually we'll actually be coming to terms with what you have presented to us. There are views which are very divergent, and there are views where there are commonalities. Obviously, there are those views which cannot be reconciled, which will be determined by a popular vote at the end of the day. So the session for today has come to an end. Yes, and tomorrow we'll be presenting you with your document, which will be the committee observations and recommendations. This session is adjourned.
I'm surprised. I expected something much different.
I don't know. I'll get some.